Are we good? All right, we'll call the meeting to order. It is 5 p.m. on March 24th, 2021. It is the regular meeting of the Sewage Commission Orville Region. Manager Sturdivant, can you call the roll, please?
Yes, sir. Commissioner Reynolds?
Absent.
Commissioner Pittman?
Here.
Commissioner Hatley?
Here.
Commissioner Latula?
Here.
Commissioner Keener?
Here.
Commissioner Fairbanks?
Here.
Okay, let the record show all commissioners are present, excluding Commissioner Reynolds. We can stand and place the flag for the flag salute, please. Salute. Pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you. Number four, acknowledgement of visitors. We have none. Five, board meeting minutes. So I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes from our last board meeting.
I make a motion that we approve the February 24th, 2021 minutes.
Okay.
Second that.
Okay, motion's been made by Commissioner Keener, seconded by Commissioner Pittman to approve the regular board meeting minutes of February 24th, 2021. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Okay. Six, employee safety meeting minutes.
Yes, we held a safety meeting on led by Chris Wright, one of our operators who has a lot of heavy equipment experience. So we covered heavy equipment and then just general slip strips falls around the plan.
Okay. Good, good. There's no motion on that. That's just a acknowledgement, correct, that we went over?
I believe so.
All right. Number seven, authorization of warrants. So I met with Manager Sturdivant yesterday, went over the warrants. Everything was in order. So let's see here. It was numbers 26626 through, I don't know, it's like 10018089, including, warrants were paid 26626 through 26668, including electronic transfers and commissioner's checks for a total of $179,607.93. So I'll make a motion that we approve the warrants.
Second.
Which one was that? D?
He was first.
Okay. All right. Motion has been made by myself, Commissioner Hatley, seconded by Commissioner Keener to approve the warrants. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstained? Okay. Number eight, fiscal report.
Sorry, Commissioner. In regards to the warrants, Commissioner Keener, last month you asked that we had it sorted out on our list of Jacobs or CH2M Hill because they were sold. So now on our documentation, it says Jacobs / CH2M Hill because they still bill as CH2M Hill.
Oh, they do.
So I just wanted to clear that up from last month.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Chair Hatley, can I interrupt for a moment? This is Scott Huber. On item number six, it actually does need approval of the board.
Okay. I'll make a motion that we approve the employee safety meeting minutes.
Yes.
I'll second it.
Okay, motion been made by myself, Commissioner Hatley, seconded by Commissioner Fairbanks to approve the employee safety meeting minutes. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Okay, thank you, Attorney Huber.
Sorry I'm late.
Speak up, Ray. That's okay. All right, I'll try to remember for next time. I only got like two meetings left to be doing this, so it's all good. Eight. Fiscal reports.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, all the fiscal reports were provided in your packets and all seemed good and correct.
Okay. Any question of the manager regarding the fiscal reports? And is there any way to turn Scott up?
No.
I believe that there is.
Or he can yell, one of the two.
No, we can't.
Whatever works.
There you go. That sounds good.
Is that better?
Is that better?
Yes.
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay, so we're actually going to move item 11, which is contract scope adjustment number one for funding research and application work done by Provis and Pritchard up next. So it's going to follow eight, which we just did, so if we can turn our agendas to item 11, I'd like to discuss that, so with the manager prior to item 9 and 10. So 11, so we'll consider an increase to the Provost and Pritchard contract for funding and environmental planning services for the wastewater treatment plant upgrade project for an amount not to exceed $48,000. So Manager Sturdivant?
Yes, Commissioner Hadley. So I spoke to Ken Shuey to try to get some more information on exactly a better itemized list on what he spent the extra $48,000 on. He wasn't a whole lot more forthcoming than he was last meeting. He just kind of explained that he went to a bunch of meetings at the direction of the board to chase funding. I can't find any direct go to this meeting in any minutes. I have found in some minutes where it says, yes, we should look into alternative funding, but no direction to, hey, go sit at an OES meeting, go sit at this meeting, go sit at this meeting. Once again, I don't believe he did anything.
Was that prior to Scott Coach leaving?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, all of this was prior to Scott Coach leaving. And I have an itemized, I had Lori prepare an itemized list of expenditures to that, from that account of $184,200 that you guys, that the board had approved in a previous meeting, and he has spent $182,713.74 of that, not including a bill that we received this month for a little over $7,000, which would put him over the $184,000 that you guys originally approved.
And that bill for $7,000, does he discuss on there what it was covering, what it was for?
It's for the same project. He has it down as the same project, the SRF application and funding search.
But that's it, no other specifics like I attended or went to or did?
Nope, he just bills it as senior engineer with amount of hours, and he just has it headed on which project he was working on.
In reality, he fulfilled his contract as far as the dollar volume was within that contract. Now he's starting something new. He really does need to give us an explanation on what, if he's starting something new, what was it for?
Yeah, I don't believe he started anything new. I believe it's just he's just gone over the dollar amount that you guys authorized him to go to go to originally.
So, he's reached the dollar amount, but did he reach the goal of the work that was to be accomplished?
No, we are still a ways away from that. I would say he's probably about 85% there. We did get some receivables this month. We got his environmental docs and some other various documents that we need for the application that he's done. But no, he hasn't. When I questioned him further, he hasn't inputted any of those into the SRF application website. It's FAST. I couldn't tell you exactly what it stands for. It's FAST is the website, and he doesn't have a whole lot entered into it. I was asking these questions to see how far he had gotten and what needs to still be done, and it seems like it's not as close as I would hope it would be at this juncture.
So I had a conversation with you yesterday, and you asked him to fill out a itemized bill or an invoice, provide whatever data there was to back up what he was saying.
Yes, sir.
What he was charging.
And
what did he tell you?
His response was, do you have, that'll take me about 3 or 4 hours, do you have the authorization to, that I can bill you for that? Basically, he wanted the charge score for him to get his ducks in a row here. And so I...
well, that's good work if you can get it.
Yeah, I didn't really like the way he approached it, and I didn't feel that was, I was in a position to authorize that with this meeting looming, so I told him, no, that's fine. I will talk to the board tomorrow night and give you direction from there.
And I guess my observation would be he bills at a senior engineer hour rate, what rate would he be billing, or would it be clerical, or, I mean, could, you can't bill $200 an hour or whatever his rate of pay is for?
I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't think so, Mr. Mayor. I didn't get that far in the conversation with him because I was kind of taken aback that he would just even have the audacity to ask SCORE to pay him money to provide us information that we should already have been provided at the last month's meeting. So I kind of just ended the conversation there.
So I'm looking at this email chain back and forth from you, and it appears this is from Ken Chewy, and he includes in here, our contract included investigating additional funding, but I look at the second bold paragraph where it says, right after the $184,200, these fees will be invoiced monthly as they occur, or are occurred. Reimbursable expenses will be invoiced in addition to professional fees and are included in this estimated above. If it appears we need to exceed the fees above, we will notify you in writing before we do so, and we will provide a revised estimate. So it sounds like he just went over by $7,000. And did he let us know in writing that he was going to go over?
Nope. The only writing that we've gotten was the request last month to go, or the, to amend the contract to give him another $48,000 to finish. So,
which was
it? No, we didn't
after
receive.
The work's done.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
Yeah.
And I hate to, what it looks like to me is that there was relationships formed here that got very, very relaxed instead of treating it fragile like it is. We're dealing with other people's money.
Yeah.
This is not our money. I can be as careless as I want to with my money, but I can't be careless with yours.
So the $48,000 that he needs to complete, so as it sits right now, we're the $7,000 bill you just got, and then there was a small amount that went above the $184,200. So I'm just going to say, for instance, if we want to get all the work that they've done,
it's ours already.
Well, I know, but I mean, get it and move in a different direction, we basically owe them maybe $8,000 or somewhere around that figure to wash our hands and go somewhere else.
I believe that is correct.
Because the 48 is to complete the job.
It's not owed for work done now. It is for future work. Yes.
But we've paid $182,000 on a $184,000 contract, correct?
Yes, sir.
And we have 85% of the work.
I know. If I
bid a wall 100 feet long and you've given me 98% of the money and your wall's 85 feet long, I don't think you're giving me the other 2%.
Right.
I don't, maybe you won't.
Right. No, I understand what you're saying completely.
Is it possible there was additional work done outside of this contract that was billed to this contract that we don't know about that could have been done through the ex-manager?
It's not in writing to be directed to do it, and it's and he won't provide any data backup to show us what he did.
Right. Well, he does have a list.
The itemized list of what he's done. Yeah, that's the billing list, yeah.
I mean, that's the billing that he's given us here through that period of time. But it really doesn't say a lot on that billing.
No, it doesn't. And the other thing is, too, is he also has a general consulting contract up to $10,000 with the Sewage Commission, which he came in and asked at my first meeting as the manager to up to $25,000. And I recommended that we didn't do that at the time, and you guys agreed. So he had that also. So if he was doing out-of-scope work not related to what you guys agreed to at the $184,000, he should have been billing it to that general consulting contract rather than to the $184,000 contract.
Well, in that general consulting, I remember asking him, is the $10,000, have you spent it all? And didn't he spend like $3,400?
Yes.
Out of the 10, but wanted an additional 15.
Yes.
To basically help you, like we hired Ray to help you.
Yep, exactly.
That's why it was, no, we're okay.
Yep.
Okay. And I will say, I will say this, I did have a conversation with the prior manager when he was still manager at the time, and going, yeah, I think they're probably going to need, you know, I think you'll probably end up needing to do that with him to, you know, because there's some stuff coming up, budget stuff and this and that, that you're probably going to need that help. So I'm glad we didn't, because I think we have the help that's needed to work through this. So, I don't know. I mean, I think this would be a question for our attorney as far as not paying any more money, but to get our work or our service done at 100%. You were going to do this to 100. I just think looking at what it says is, you know, this being an estimate, that he's going to go, yeah, but you told me go look here and look there. So I've attended, you know, 12 different meetings, and it was 8 hours a pop, and that's at this rate. And so you
write it down.
Where is it?
Yeah,
that I agree. Yeah. But I think that's,
where's the gas tags? Where's the,
yeah,
all that.
So is that, am I correct on that, Attorney Huber, as this is an, yeah, estimate, and he was given direction to look for other funding sources that.
Yeah, that's a pretty good summary. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah, that's actually Chair Hadley, a really good summary. What he, if you look at the addendum that they have proposed, you know, they itemize the additional work that they did provide, 24,012 of funding options, 7461 of user and connection fee work, and they've got it, you know, itemized a 48,765, and then they're saying, well, that was just an estimate. Now I've looked over the contract, and I've looked over, you know, some of the email, you know, that we've been able to obtain. One thing I do want to highlight for the board is that the prior general manager's emails were deleted by him before he walked out the door.
Oh.
So we were a little bit hampered from the standpoint of internally trying to look at what was the communication, what was the direction,
yeah,
you know, the written direction, you know, for this work to be done. Having said that, I think, Mr. Chair, you appropriately, I think, summarized where this thing lies. The contract is really an open-ended one, and one that I wouldn't recommend in the future of this type of contract to be quite so open-ended, because it literally puts a cap on the amount of the contract, but it doesn't necessarily put a cap on the cost to obtain the final product, because as you pointed out in that paragraph on page 11, it says our fees are estimated at $184,200. You know, and I think likely the emails that this firm sent suggesting that they're going to need more money would constitute, under the contract anyway, notice that they're going to exceed the budget and you know, requesting more money. And I don't want to get to the end of the row here quite so quickly, but I think really there are only two options. And the only two options you have, I believe, are you can either engage this firm to finish the job and tighten up the language so that you have a set amount to get a finished product, and that's it. Or you can say, you know, thanks but no thanks, package up the work, we'll send it to someone else. That will likely cost a little bit more because the firm you send it to is going to want to verify everything that the other firm has done, just to make sure the I's are dotted appropriately and the T's are crossed, because they don't want their liability insurance to cover, you know, some mistake of another engineering firm, and then, you know, and then pay them to pay a different firm to finish the stroke. The one thing I will tell you, looking at the documents, I don't suggest, and I don't think you would have a legitimate basis to say, we're not paying you another nickel and we demand that you finish the product. I don't think you have and you know, any reasonable basis to do all of that, although quite frankly, that's probably a different discussion, perhaps in closed session. But I think really right now the outward facing issue is you've either got to finish the stroke with this firm or move to another one.
I have a question, and Scott, on page 11, they, in the original contract, they had a proposed fee schedule and the tasks all identified by eight different tasks. It would seem to be reasonable if they have an overage that at least the billing that they send us would have some relationship to the proposed fee schedule. So you follow what I'm saying?
To a task order.
Yeah, to a task order, so that we have some reasonable understanding of what the overage was. I have yet to see that. We don't have any description from them about the 44,000 and where those tasks. Would that be a reasonable request?
Absolutely. I will tell you, I was a little surprised to hear the response that, well, I can provide you that, but it's going to take me about 4 hours and I'm going to bill you for it. That should be in the billing already. And if it's not in the billing already, then I would expect it to be there. There's nowhere in this that you agree to pay for them to itemize their bill. They should be itemizing their bill anyway.
And it does have a heading on each one of the bills, Attorney Huber, that does coordinate with the proposed fee. So, for an example, it's $4,533.04, titled Project Management. Right below it, Project Report, $764. Right below that, Preparation of IS/MND and EPC for $5,736. So he does have an itemized list that he has billed us, but not for the individual things that made up that individual part of the bill.
Well, this is what concerns me. Is I can get you that, but it's going to cost you 4 hours for me to dig that up, and it concerns me that I don't need to show up today. I don't need to. I did what I needed to say last
meeting. Well, I'm going to stop working on your project and just unless you give me my money.
So with those are the issues that I have, and so I feel like after the last meeting, he's soured or bitter or whatever you want to call it with this. And I don't know if we're going to get the best quality work if we decide to stay with them to finish a stroke, as Attorney Huber said, to get this completed, or if it's better to cut losses and look for another engineering firm to finish the project.
So I tried to get a rushed quote to get so I could provide you guys with an alternative, and they I don't feel comfortable. You know, they threw out a number, but I don't. You know, they didn't do a whole lot of research into it. It was something like $70,000 or something to finish. Jacobs Engineering.
Yeah.
Which originally I believe it all should have been done in under one roof in the first place, because they're handling all the other parts of this moving operation. But I'd like to get you guys a firm number, a real number, before you make any hard decisions. And all, as we have future items on the list here, they could coincide. So
I'd like to ask Ray, is this normal?
No. No. I just have a couple comments, and Scott's probably the guy that will clear this up for me. On page 2, it states clearly that the summary of the additional work we performed is provided below for $48,765. So it was performed and done. But in the original contract, as you alluded to and Scott alluded to, it says it appears that we will not exceed, or excuse me, if it appears that we will need to exceed the fees above, we will notify you in writing before we do so, and we'll provide a revised estimate. We will not continue, means we will not move forward work beyond the initial budget without additional authorization. Did you guys give them authorization?
For the $7,000?
No, for the $48,765.
No.
No.
That was presented at the last meeting.
All I'm doing is just throwing out, going, wait a minute. You ladies and gentlemen, we're, according to their writings, we're supposed to authorize it prior to them, but they evidently went ahead and did it. I don't know. I could say the word breach of contract. I don't think that's correct. But all I'm saying is
that that's the amendment scope that he's reading.
Yeah. But how could you go ahead, and any of you, whether you put up block walls, or you fight fires, or you arrest people, how could you do something when it states clearly you're supposed to have authorization prior?
That's the same one on page 11.
And that's what I'm getting at. And maybe it's there. I just say that one thing Provo Pritchard owes you is these documents.
The explanation.
They at least owe you that. Whether you go with them or go away from them, I recommend they, you put them on the book and say, you give us this.
And something that I mean, there's many things that I'm, that's going through my mind here, but how do you tell us for over a month that, or you, them tell us for over a month that they don't have this, they don't, they can't produce it, but then all of a sudden it's gonna take 4 hours and if you pay us. I mean, how do we arrive at, so you have it, but you're withholding it,
but according
unless
to the
we
contract,
give you more money.
They owed it to you before.
That's right. It's absolutely
it's
right.
It's just like an item two. I went through this contract, and please, I will not try to take up your time, but item two for $7,000 for the connection fees up or down, that is pretty explicit in the original contract. They're supposed to do that for you.
Right.
Why, is it a double billing issue? How can you say that when it's perfectly clear in the contract? Again, I'm not an attorney, but I just think, explain it to me, I'm just a country boy.
Well, I personally, commenting on your comments, Mr. Chairman, I'm along the lines of pursuing another avenue, because we know what we're getting here. We're not getting a finished product, and it looks like an open-ended payoff or a bill that's just going to keep getting bigger.
I don't disagree with that, but I think, you know, this is one of the cases we're in pretty deep. And if we do go to another firm, like Scott said, they're not going to guarantee anything that's been done. They won't do that. And if it was wrong or is wrong, we got to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to eat it. That's a problem.
But
because these, they will not back it up.
Well, they're licensed and insured, and they perform this work under that license and insurance. They have
correct
to guarantee their work. I know I have to guarantee mine for 10 years.
But see, they're not 100% yet. If it was 100%, I agree. If it's only 84, 85%, I have a feeling there's an out there for them if something goes wrong. We don't know what 84% they've got done. Well, I guess we do, but they could say a portion of that that had to be done within the stuff that they did. A
lot of items that are partially done.
Yes. And that's the scary part. You know, I agree with you. I would love to do, I think that would be the ideal way to go if we have big pocketbooks. But because I think we were taken here a little bit. But I think my opinion is we ought to finish the contract, do a new contract for the rest of the work, and have it a solid fee and everything itemized. That's my opinion. I'm just,
well, I totally agree with that comment. Anything added to this needs to stop.
Oh yeah,
period, to stop, and then have a completely
new
contract
for the rest of the
right whatever work
15-20% that has to be done.
The thing that troubles me is I don't know what communications occurred between our past manager and that, and if you're telling
exactly
me we don't have any records of their communication.
And they might have those records, and they could throw them right back at us.
Yeah, because
right.
I wouldn't see where
their emails
would have been deleted.
No,
just on this end.
That's what he was referring to about the 3 or 4 hours of him combing through the emails to find
information.
And
trust me, they will. If we
well, emails never go away. It's just you gotta go look for them to find them.
And I originally, when I took over as manager, I asked that they be I asked for them, and they said they were deleted and that they might be able to get a hold of them, but they didn't know. And
Who was this? Who
this was Stratty, our IT company.
Oh, okay.
I kind of was like, okay, and then I had a bunch on my plate and I never really got back to it, I'm sure, but Attorney Huber told me, get those emails, so.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious, because we had a manager here and those emails were created under a salary that was collected, that we provided. So essentially, they belong to us.
They're certainly Scores emails, yeah.
Yes.
Yes and no. Scott, isn't there some legal thing about a person's email and retaining those on his own, on his computer at work, or can you go back after those legally?
Well, so the emails that someone generates as part of the, in the course and scope of their employment, are owned by the employer.
Okay.
We would have the ability to go back to the IT, you know, folks and say, hey, you know, can you try and recover those? Okay. And there's absolutely nothing that can be done by the former employee. The only issue would be if the former employee had personal emails in that, you know, if he commingled his email, so to speak, then there may be an argument that you can only recover and keep the work-related emails, but the personal ones you're not supposed to. Having said that, I think the case law is pretty clear that if an employee commingles their email, despite the fact that it may be personal, if they knowingly do it on their work computer, that they are then owned by the company, and in this instance by the agency. Now, I would recommend that you go back, and I wouldn't spend $1 million to try and go back and get his emails, but for a minimal cost, I think you could likely go back and get into the archives and get them, because you may need them at some point.
Right. Just back to this date of the contract would be probably as far as you need to go.
Yeah.
Well, and I'll tell you how I know about that was because I had an employee who was on my office computers doing things that weren't work related.
Okay. Yep.
And when I let her go, she tried to recover or delete everything from another location, and I had to shut it off because she was deleting my data too. So I had a forensic investigator come in and go over it, and he said, wait, there's some pretty, it was a lot of, she was researching growing marijuana and all this at work. Okay, well, and here's what this officer told me, he was not a entry-level officer, he was very, he's deep into his career. He said, I'll go you one farther, not only do these emails belong to you, but you're responsible for them. And I said, well, but I didn't even know they were on there. And that's your responsibility too. You should have known they were on there.
But how would you know unless you go in and review
that's
someone else's email?
That's
which is
what I'm saying, but that's illegal. The law. You yeah. are responsible for them. Yeah.
Okay.
So then on 11, so I guess the discussion for us to have is do we want to continue with this not to exceed 48,000, but put it into a
separate
contract for the specific scope of work to be done and have the verbiage where it's not to exceed this amount for this project to be 100% done, or cut our losses and go with possibly Jacobs or different firm. So that's, I think, where we're at now. We understand your point of view with keeping it going. I'm torn by it. I totally understand your point. And yeah, I don't know if there's like, okay, there's nine line items and seven of them are 100% complete. There's only these two to finish, or is it a little bit out of every single one that has to be
most likely a little bit out of every single one.
So that's the...
You know how specifications go. If anybody's ever dealt with specifications on a project, when you see 30%, 40%, 50%, it's a little bit of everything. Okay?
Right.
So it may end up costing almost as much.
So Scott, as you've listened to all this discussion, has it changed your initial conversation that you gave us, the two options?
No, I think those are, I would maybe add a caveat in there, because, you know, you can't, given the contract that you have, the current contract that you have with Provost and Pritchard, I don't think you could force them to finish it for that amount. So what I would suggest is, if they're not willing to stand behind the number that they have given you of $48,765, if they still insist on, well, this is just an estimate to get to the finish line, I think you need to consider that eventuality. In which direction do you want to go? If they say, well, we're not willing to guarantee it at $48,765. So I think that'd be sort of a item, you know, option one is to remain with Provost and Pritchard at $48,765. Maybe option 1B is, do you still want to remain with them if they won't guarantee that dollar amount and provide the funds? Or do you want to go to option number 2, which is, you know, send it somewhere else? Now, I do want to address, though, the comment about another firm taking a look at it. They won't just take it wholesale and accept it as is and then finish the stroke. They will actually review and go over what's there. There will be some costs associated with that, but as a result, they have to guarantee the final product, which is why they will review some of it, you know, to make sure that everything was done, you know, to professional engineering standards. There will be some additional cost there for that, I would assume. I think, Glenn, you're probably the expert on that, and I know you spoke to them. You spoke to another company that gave you an estimate, so maybe you can, you know, I don't know if they talked about that or not, but
yeah, they gave me a ballpark figure of about $70,000. They didn't put it on paper. He just told me at 4:57 right before the meeting, because they've been kind of trying to get through it all day, because I kind of had him on a rush trying to give me a number.
Yeah.
So another $20,000. Above what Provost and Pritchard
wants.
Right around that.
Yes.
And we probably lose a lot of time in going number 2 option.
But how do you feel as this stands right now? Are you comfortable moving forward with them staying? I mean, how do you feel?
I'm torn as well. If we were starting from scratch, there was no way I would recommend going with Provost and Pritchard. I've not been happy with anything that he's done that I've seen in my capacity at SCORE in 8 years. Do I want to waste another $20,000 of the fee payers' money? I don't. So, you know, I'm torn as well. If you put me on the spot and you want my recommendation is that we pull it and go to Jacobs. But, you know, I don't say that lightly, because it will be probably more money.
I mean, that's kind of how I feel. And I wasn't here at the last meeting, but just looking at all this, I would say let's move.
Did he say, did Ken say that it would take $48,000 to complete it?
Yes.
To complete it?
Yep.
That's kind of our guarantee right there. If we write it up that way, or he writes it up that way.
I'm in agreement with Commissioner Keener on that, I think. I think if it's worded correctly to get a finished product, they've done the scope of work, but I'd say moving forward, we look elsewhere for engineering services. I don't know how much time it would take with Jacobs if we went with Jacobs, because they're on this project. I mean, they're doing it, so they're familiar with.
That's why I would recommend, if we did move to them, because they're the ones doing the design. They know already the financial aspects of the new design. I would think it would be more cost effective to go with Jacobs rather than pull in a third engineering firm that's not involved in any level at this point.
I would like to hear from Ray, if you have anything you'd like to weigh in on this at all.
First of all, I would have never done this. Straight up, because it's such a massive project with so much money involved with so many different agencies. Yeah, it's, you know, I do agree with Glenn in some respect. I think you're torn here. I guess the bottom line is, and I have to apologize because I'm not fully digested into this project, but the thing is that do we know exactly what they owe us? So there's no surprises. Do we know exactly what they owe us, right down to the, because Scott needs to put this in, if we go after the 48,000 and get that work that's supposedly going to be completed, we need to know exactly down to the period of the end of the sentence of what they owe us.
Work-wise, you mean?
Yeah, because I mean, there's too many surprises keep popping up here. Again, I go back to page 2, they said they did the work on it, then below it they said, well, they're not quite done, they need 48,000. If you're astute and you're a caretaker of the people's money, I think you would spend more money with Scott to ironclad the additional legal ease to get this $48,000 and pay Provo and Pritchard. I'm not a big fan of Provo and Pritchard. I just want that on the record. But if between Scott and what he has to work with here, you can nail it down and save you $30,000-$40,000. You know, and plus Jacobs, it was a shot from the hip, I believe.
Yes, it was. Very much
it,
was.
It could come
and
back.
That's a protective number, you know. Yeah,
but they could come back with a change order, too. They could come back and say, well, look at on tax 3, we find something really different. It's going to require X amount of hours to research. So, again, I think it's up to Scott to nail it down, if you guys go with Provo and Pritchard, and nail it down exactly what they owe us.
If I could get it explained to me one more time, because I thought that when this came up last meeting, all of a sudden we're looking at a $48,000 bill. It was my understanding that we had a contract for engineering, consulting and engineering from these guys for $184,000.
Estimate. Estimate. Wasn't a contract. It's an estimate.
Okay.
Contract would be, you, in my opinion, you have a cap on a contract. Mm-hmm. That's not a contract.
Yeah, this is an open-ended weak agreement, yeah. Is what it is. The but I thought that the $48,000, because they were only at this point with the 184, mm-hmm. And I thought that between Ken and Scott, they had verbally said, "Hey, can you help us find some funding?" And he agreed, and he said, well, do we need to go get the money or whatever, you know, get approval? And he said, just use it out of this. That's what I thought I heard. And then just use it out of this, and then we'll get it refunded, added to your...
That sounds,
that sounds
very familiar, mm-hmm. to me, too.
But I believe he should have had your approval to do that.
Wait, yeah. So it was funding, it was to go... off the beaten path of
to find other funding
sources, yes. For this project.
That's what it was for, right?
Yes.
That's what I thought. I just want to make sure I'm keeping up.
It was this project. It was to get other funding sources, but it was, I'm going to try these other avenues, and struck out on all of them. And basically that cost, mm-hmm. $48,000 off the beaten path, and now we're like, nope, now we got to get back on track, uh-huh. and continue with what we started, but we spent the 48 over here because
you guys said go ahead
and look for other funding sources.
But that's not what the 48,000 says.
It
only 24,000 of it says that.
That's why it's really crucial to make sure which way you go, you find out exactly what this organization owes,
right.
you. Because I don't want you guys, you ladies and gentlemen, to be cheated out of anything.
Yeah.
Because this is scrambled eggs and, mm-hmm. professional thing.
So in other words, you're saying is we need to ask them, okay, what's it going to take to complete? What are you going to do for this $48,000?
Larry, you're exactly right. What gets us across the original finish line? Because you only ask them for so much for the original. We need to find funding to pay for this monstrosity of a project.
A completed SRF application.
Exactly. Yep. Everything. What do we need to get across the finish line?
Yeah.
They owe that to you. Now, if you decide to go the extra $48,000, that's up to you. I would do the $48,000 with Scott putting the legalese together.
Yeah, I think that, from my perspective, looking at it, it's probably the best money spent at this point in time. And then call that the finish line. And if they ask for one more dollar, thank you very much, we'll see you later.
Well, there shouldn't be if everything's done properly right now.
But the challenge will be to Mr. Huber to write a good letter of some kind.
Yeah.
Letter of clarification.
You know, I don't think this is rock scientist. This is contract law, and it's been around forever. There's a disagreement going on, but they clearly put it in writing, $48,000 for X, Y, and Z. And they said they've done it, and then below they said that it's going to take more to finish it. It's really confusing. And then they didn't provide to you what they should have by the means of the contract that they too signed. There's two signatories to that contract. He was in there. And they said, we will provide you with this, and they never did.
Contract drafting 101 is the big print giveth and the small print taketh away.
Oh, you've got state contracts?
So to clarify and to clean up number 11, it would it be the pleasure of this board to give direction to the attorney to nail down exactly what scope of work is left? What exactly is it going to cost to get us across the finish line with Provost and Pritchard? And then we can make a decision once we get that moving forward.
Yes.
I would be in agreement with that.
Yeah, okay.
But what have, yes, exactly right. Have the attorney have the conversation.
Yes.
Because he's an expert and knows what to listen for.
Yeah. So are you good with that, Attorney Huber, or did I say that well enough? We just need, it was consensus of the board to give you direction to contact Provost and Pritchard and basically firm up exactly what scope of work is left to get us across the finish line and what the dollar amount will be.
Yeah, happy to do that.
Okay, so I guess that takes care of number 11, unless there's any other questions.
Now can I ask one follow-up question on that? Once we get that number dialed in, do you want to wait for the next board meeting, or would you like to call a special meeting to reconvene to get this project moving?
Well, I feel like we need to get the project moving. So if it takes a special board meeting, as soon as you can get that information, I think that would probably be the best.
I think so, too. I think
we're have no problem with
11th hour here.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
I agree.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, attorney.
Thank you.
So we'll go to 9 now, which is Jacobs General Consulting Services Task Order Number 36, with the WIFIA funding search. So we'll consider authorizing new task order number 36 with Jacobs Consulting to prepare a letter of interest, preliminary application for the Water Infrastructure Financial, that's what WIFI is, Innovation Act, low interest loan for amount not to exceed $85,000.
My recommendation is that we wait on this until we come to a final decision on the previous item, because a lot of the work that would be done for the WIFIA is also the same work that needs to happen for the SRF. So this number could go down with a completed SRF application from Provost or Pritchard, or it could, coupling them to the two projects together from Jacobs could also bring the cost down for both things. So I don't think that we have, with you guys not having made a decision yet on item number 11, is my recommendation that we wait on item number 10.
So
I'm sorry.
Quick question on that. So we're having Provost and Pritchard moving forward with the SRF application for funding for our project for the plant expansion. This with Jacobs for water infrastructure financing in the WIFIA low interest loan. What is this paying for?
Same project.
Same, so we got same two project. Different people looking for funding for same
different project. Funding sources. So the problem with the SRF is time that it takes to get SRF. So me and Mike had a meeting with City of San Mateo. They've been approved for funding, and they've been on the SRF funding list for 5 years.
And it's been approved.
It's been approved.
We're not even at that stage.
We're not even at that stage. We're not even at the preliminary stage of SRF. We haven't even turned in the very first part of the application.
So. Just because we're on this agenda item, so I'm going to speak on it. Sorry if it takes a while. So if they're So Jacobs General Consulting Services wants not to exceed $85,000 to go for this WIFIA low-interest loan for the project. We've spent $184,000 for funding source for this project that even if we get approved for, we could be waiting for 5 years.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Where the WIFIA turnaround is, what San Mateo say, year and a half, a lot quicker.
So I'm curious with all of these, I don't know if WIFIA started 2 weeks ago.
WIFIA was available when they first started looking into this.
So I don't know with all these, yes, go out and search all these other funding options that this wasn't, WIFIA wasn't looked at by Provost
and Pritchard. I believe it was and it was discarded and I don't know why. I think their plan was just to go after it in one lump at the SRF level. Because WIFIA, the one caveat with WIFIA is it only provides 49% of the project.
Okay.
So you can get the other 51% from SRF, which WIFIA, that's part of the nice thing about WIFIA, is WIFIA, if you show them, yes, that we are accepted by SRF, even though we don't have the funding, you can start your project with the WIFIA funding while the SRF funding is still coming in. It just gives SCORE more options. And with the money we have in reserves and what we will put in the reserves before the project starts, we might not even need an SRF. We might be able to look at other options. The bond market is supposed to be really good right now as far as for funding. Now, you wouldn't want to do that for a giant chunk of money, like the whole project. To maybe close a gap between our reserves and what WIFIA could give us, it might be worthwhile. I understand where you're coming from. We're like way down the road to throw in another option here. But I just think it's probably worth looking at least. Because of the time frame. I think in 5 years we're still gonna be waiting on SRF money. And I don't want SCORE holding up.
So I think that was probably why we said look for other funding sources too while this other thing is going forward, because we knew it could take so long. Mm-hmm. But it's frustrating that we've spent that much money on a funding source that we may not even have for 5 years, and this is a project
that we may not get.
Yeah, or we may not get. So
we were just doing the application.
So is it the pleasure of the board that we table item number 9
for now?
Yeah, for now.
I want to just jump in there real quick. I think I can't speak for Provost and Pritchard. Obviously, I haven't seen what what the money has been spent on, but. A couple weeks ago, Glenn and I both got a draft version of the environmental report, which is required for the SRF application. And with that environmental report comes other studies that have already been done by sub-consultants. So there was a biological study, there was a soil study, there was a cultural resources study. And I don't know what the costs of those were, but those are decent sized reports. And then the environmental, the draft environmental impact mitigated negative declaration, which is under staff review right now. We're preparing comments, which we'll send back to whoever we end up going with. So there's a considerable amount of effort and money that was spent probably in the preparation of those documents as well. Whoever completes that document, it will be utilized for both WIFIA and for SRF.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Thank you.
I have a question to the attorney. As he just mentioned a number of documents, do any of those have an expiration date? As they're composed, say like a soil study, is there some legal time that they expire and no longer valid, or?
Yeah, the short answer is yes, although there is no definition, there is no defined expiration date, like on items you find, for example, like milk at the grocery store. What has to happen is the longer you go from the issuance of the study, the more suspect it is and the more it will need to be updated, because conditions may have changed, traffic conditions may have changed, housing impact may have changed, how much, you know, how much EDU produces may have changed, you know, over the number of years. And I'm again, the shorter the time frame, the more likely it is you can rely on it. The longer the time frame, you're going to have to redo it. And it's not a full redo. It's just you've got to just update it, you know, and look at what has what conditions have changed, either what environmental conditions, what living conditions, what regulations may have changed since the documents were produced previously, and then you update it accordingly. So I hope that answers your question. It's not like it has a firm expiration date where, you know, one day it's good and the next day it's bad. But the longer it goes, the more you could say it slowly degrades, so to speak.
So then on item number 9, so we can table this at later. So if we get and have a special meeting and get the information we need, we could have this put on that special meeting as well. So if we want to go in a different direction, that's a possibility. Is that, that'd be fair to say, Attorney Huber? Or should
yes.
should we just wait for the next regular meeting?
You can consider this a special meeting as well.
Okay, so we'll do that. So direction of the manager is item 9. When we have our special meeting, put this item back on that one as well.
Yes, sir.
So jumping down to 10, general consulting services contract amendment for Jacobs General Consulting Services, task order number 20 for an amount not to exceed $20,000. So it looks like they're asking for an additional engineering assistance for an amount not to exceed $20,000. Manager Sertivant?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. So we used Jacobs for a lot of the in-house engineering projects that might come up, or mainly what we've been using them for a lot lately, as you guys all know in your entities, capacity studies. That's who does all of our capacity studies for any new developments. Now, we are reimbursed by the developers for the capacity study, but SCORE has to come out of the out of pocket up front for that, and this is the fund that we use for that, or if something was to happen, an emergency, and I had to have some engineering done so we could do a repair at the plant, or then I would have to send it up to Jacobs for that. So this is just general stuff that comes up. This doesn't mean we're even going to spend this $20,000. It just gives me an account to spend from if needed.
For
capacity studies or just okay. other general small engineering projects around the plant. Anything large, I would have to come have a special meeting or come to a regular board meeting and ask permission, obviously. Okay. Just to, like, mainly this will be used for capacity studies at this point.
So. Okay.
I don't see any problem with that.
No, okay.
One thing I might mention in the future, we, you know, and I know we don't have a lot of accounts, but as you would recommend the money to come from whatever account, just mentioned on the staff report that we would come from whatever account is, you know, planned for. That way we understand it, and nobody knows, everybody has a record where it came from.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I'll entertain a motion for that.
I'll second the motion.
No.
Oh,
I'll entertain.
Make a motion.
Yeah.
Make a motion.
Would you like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion. To approve the presented item number, was it 10?
10.
10, yes.
Okay, I'll second it, which is for an amount not to exceed $20,000. So a motion's been made by Commissioner Pittman, seconded by myself, Commissioner Hatley, to approve the general consulting service contract with Jacobs Engineering, task order number 20 for an amount not to exceed $20,000. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Okay. We've already talked about 11. We'll move down to 12, which is amendment to board policy 2800, general provisions.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm coming to the board to ask that we increase the yearly boot allowance that we refund the operators and the O&M staff up from $100 to $200. The last time that policy was addressed was in 1991, I believe. 1990, and as we all know, that wear work boots or any type of boots, it's pretty hard to get a decent pair of work boots for
$100.
$120.
There you go. So
LL Bean, $150.
There you go.
It's so, not, they're not cheap.
That's right. So I would, yeah, it's pretty cut and dry on this one. I would just ask that we up that boot reimbursement amount to $200 from $100.
Okay, and so because they don't have a contract, this isn't something that's negotiating their contract. This is just something that's in this specific policy that they give this like a uniform allowance, if you will.
Exactly, yeah, yes. This policy has money for operator exams. It has money for permit renewal fees, education costs,
Okay.
I'll make a motion that we make an amendment to the board policy 2800 covering general provisions. Some employees' boot allowance from $100 to $200 annually.
A second.
Okay, motion's been made by Commissioner Reynolds, second by Commissioner Keener to approve amendment of board policy 2800 general provisions, basically changing the operation and maintenance employees from $100 to $200 annually for boot, shoe slash boot purchase. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Okay, 13, resolution 0321, establishing monthly sewer service charge.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. So the board decided on the February 27, 2019 board meeting to, they voted unanimously for option number four for rate increases to put the sewage commission in the position that it needs to be to take care of the upgrade with the loan payment or and the operating costs. And you guys voted for to have that happen every year all the way until 23-24, and it's time for that to happen this year. Generally, this is brought before you guys in June, which I didn't feel made a lot of sense because I'm presenting a budget as before then, so I didn't want to write a budget based on a rate increase that you guys hadn't approved yet. So that's why I brought it a couple months early so I could get that out of the way so we could move forward with the budget. So that's about it for that one. It's already been, you guys already voted to approve it, but I believe that you wanted to see it every year just to make sure that it was something that you wanted to push forward on a yearly basis.
Yeah, I believe we had a Prop 218 hearings on that every member entity did and approved this.
Yep.
So, it was already approved, correct?
Yes. So I'm not sure why the former manager didn't do one resolution that just said on this date it'll go up to this, on this date it'll go up to this, and covered the whole entirety of the rate increase that you guys voted on, but he didn't. It went to, it was a separate resolution for each year that it went up, so I just wanted to follow suit.
Okay. Go ahead, Ray.
Just a little historical. It used to be actually done in August, after the July meeting, which we adopted the budget. We adopted the budget with whatever rate increase may be imposed into it. And then we actually came back and created a policy. You will get a policy in June for this rate increase. The policy is set forth so that we can send that policy to each member entity as the document saying you have to increase our rates now. So you'll see that in June. I just wanted to let you know that don't be surprised when you see this $17 come at you, but it's for the purpose of putting out to the public or to the entities that this time, and attached to that policy will be the resolution.
Okay, so I'll make a motion we approve resolution 03-21 establishing monthly sewer service charge. And I guess I'll say from $15.85 to $17.85 per EDU per month for fiscal year 2021-2022.
Second.
Motion's been made by myself, Commissioner Hatley, seconded by Commissioner Reynolds to approve resolution 03-21, establishing monthly sewer service charge, again from $15.85 to $17.85 per EDU per month for fiscal year 2021-2022. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Reynolds?
Yes.
Commissioner Hatley?
Yes.
Commissioner Keener?
Yes.
Okay, done. 14, request to purchase rotary lobe sludge pump replacement park kits.
Dang.
Yes, sir. So we we have two rotary lobe sludge pumps in our primary sludge station, and they have wearable parts in them, wearable lobes, wear plates, and every time you change those out, you got to change the seal kit as well. So we are due for some maintenance on those, and so I'm requesting for to purchase two kits. One to repair one of the pumps or do the preventive maintenance on the pump, and one to have on the shelf so that we can have one in case an emergency happens.
And we do all the work in-house on this?
We do all the work in-house. That's just for parts there, the $12,000.
Okay. Was this a budgeted item prior to or anything as far as general fund or anything?
No, it would just come out of our regular maintenance budget.
Okay. All right.
So you said you got to repair one now?
Yes, one of them, the lobes is pretty chunked up on, and the wear plate's in pretty bad shape as well. So it needs to be have the lobes replaced and the seals redone, and then the wear plate.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. We need to make a motion. Mm-hmm. I make a motion that we allow them to purchase rotary lobe sludge pump replacement part kits, not to exceed $12,700.
Second.
Motion's been made by Commissioner Keener, second by Commissioner Reynolds, to approve the purchase of rotary lobe sludge pump replacement part kits in the amount not to exceed $12,700. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Okay, 15, attorney's report. Attorney Huber, it's all yours.
I have nothing additional to report. Okay. Actually, but I've been working with Glenn on, with the general manager on, I let him know that we have taken a copy of the board policies and of the personnel rules and regulations, and got my paralegal working on it. It'll be a project that I expect to take several months, but just know we are working on it, and we of course are making sure to stay within the budget that is allocated for legal services, because we don't want to be like
Provost.
No offense, Provost and Pritchard.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay, golly, I'm sorry. I apologize. Any questions from the commissioners or the attorney? Nope. Okay.
Nope.
16, manager's report.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. So obviously we've covered some other topics that were included in my manager's report, but I really wanted to hit on the operator recruitment, hiring, and an OIT and our lead operator. So we completed our interviews, two rounds of interviews for the OIT. Well, we advertised an OIT 1, 2, or 3. We got no certified operators, so it ended up being an OIT position. And we offered the job to a man named Joe Battaglia. He's a local guy from Oroville, and it just seemed like a really good fit. He works for emergency services right now, so I didn't feel like stress of the wastewater plant would be too much for him, since he's running on an ambulance all the time. So with that being said, we did offer him the position. He accepted the position, and he will start April 1st. Also during that time, we had a lot of really good candidates, and we kind of honed in on a second candidate, and I kind of will jump a little bit ahead in my manager's report here. I've included two budgets for you, two separate budgets. One is with the current staffing that you guys have already approved, including this new hire that we just offered the position to start April 1st. A second budget there would include a second OIT that I would like to hire in July. The reason I feel, Ray also feels, Micah agrees, that we would need another one is just because of the giant amount of projects that we are going to be undertaking here in the next couple of years. I'm going to be pulled all over the place. Micah will probably be pulled all over the place. Having another operator would really go a long way, especially if we had an issue at, say, one of the lift stations and the plant at the same time. We get very thin very quickly. So once again, I put that out there. I put two budgets out there for you guys to look at and make that decision. But as far as
the original hire, we feel really good about them. Everyone liked them. I had myself, Micah, sat in on the first round of interviews. And the second round of interviews, we actually had a couple of the grade three operators here sit in on them, and it was unanimous. We all really liked the top two guys. The second guy as well works for EMS, which is kind of funny. I think he would be a great addition too if you guys were to feel that we did need the fifth operator. With that being said, to move on to the next item on my list would be we did the interview for our lead operator position that I told you guys we would be doing. I invited basically my peer group of manager level people from the three entities to sit in on the panel interview. Jamie Boucher from Thermalito sat in. Scott McCutcheon from Lopud sat in. Dawn was busy, I believe, so she wasn't able to make it. But they were, I believe they were very impressed by both of our candidates. They agreed with my and Micah's recommendation on who we should hire, but I felt like I really wanted to invite the other managers to just keep working on that unity thing, to give the other entities some ownership of SCORE, more than actual ownership of SCORE. To make them felt like they were part of the decision process down here, and so that all of our staffs can kind of get to know each other a little bit better. And so the operator that came out of that with in the lead was Mitch Maxwell, and we've offered him the lead operator position, obviously to be finalized by you guys to allow me to do that, but that would be starting April 1st as well. So,
So I have a question on the second part with the lead operator. So was that your old position?
That was the lead operator position is one that we created.
That's right.
So okay. We took half of Micah's old position and we just created a full-time lead operator.
I don't know Mitch Maxwell. So a little quick rundown of him.
So Mitch, his father retired from here, Dave Maxwell. So this runs in his blood. When I came here in 2012, I left the city of Colusa after working there for 6 years. I got Mitch my old job at the city of Colusa, which is a great place to start because they're collections, water distribution, and the wastewater plant. So you get a very well-rounded knowledge. As soon as I became the foreman, I stole him from the city of Colusa, which made my friend and the city manager over there at Colusa not real happy with me for a couple months, but because Mitch is a good guy, a good operator. So I stole him, and he's been here for 2 years now. So he's our senior operator.
And who is Matthew Chavez?
So Matthew Chavez is our operator that we hired from Georgia that started in September.
I was curious about that, okay.
Also a great candidate, also very qualified. He was actually a former city manager in Georgia where he was at, not because he wanted to, but because the other guy retired and they didn't have anybody else, so he stepped into that role in a temporary position. But he is also a very qualified candidate. I think he's got skills and he could be better used and better serve SCORE better in a different capacity. So, and I think Mitchell, in the capacity of the lead operator being pretty much in charge of the maintenance, I think that it just fits him like a glove.
Good. I for one, I'm going to take your advice of the hire for Mitch, and it was nice to see that you reached out to the three member entities, showing that we're working back together as a collective group, and to get their input. It's kind of nice having people that don't do exactly what you do sit in on interviews. It brings a different perspective, and they can see, it's a lead operator. They know what a lead operator should be, so it's good to get that feel. So I think that was kudos for you for doing that. And I'm behind you 100%. If that's who you want as your lead operator, I will co-sign that.
I'm happy to hear about all the response because I sat here for a couple years here and there's nobody, nowhere, you can't find anybody. And
I was gonna bring that up.
Yeah. I mean, thank you.
Yeah, no, we had probably, I don't know, Michael, what'd you say, probably five total candidates that I wouldn't have been mad if any of them would have got the job. So, obviously it's easier to recruit OITs, operators in training, that don't have any certifications, that you're just kind of looking for a background of maintenance or mechanics. That's easier to find than a guy with a grade 3 certification, obviously. But I think that Joe, who we offered the position to, I don't think there's going to be any issue with him getting his grade three in a very timely manner. And if you guys were to allow me to hire a second one, I think that the next guy on the list would be great too.
I'm all for it because, again, and thank you for bringing that up, Commissioner Reynolds. Yeah, there a lot of times, oh, there's no one. It's going to be difficult. And to hear that we actually had good candidates, I'm totally on board with you hiring a second one, because I think the more people we can get in the pipeline and start going and get their license, because, I mean, it was evident we didn't get anybody with a license. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to tell ourselves, we're going to have to do OITs, train them up, and work with them getting them into this. So I think the more the better. The second question regarding that is just, and this is because I'm this curious. So both of them are EMTs, I would take it.
Yes.
Do they both plan on keeping their EMT certifications going? Just because that would be great to have here in case there was an accident. That's all I'm saying.
We did not ask them that question, if they were gonna keep them going. Both of them just expressed it. They got into it thinking it was a career and it was not.
So one of the guys I work with was an EMT and worked on an ambulance, and he keeps his certification up annually. You got to do it annually, but he keeps it up. So I was just curious, because I think that would be beneficial for a guy to have that here.
If I could add on.
Yeah.
And I totally agree with you. When I was an operator here, I was an EMT. There's one of my teachers. So in SCORE kept my EMT certification up every year.
I was gonna say, I bet
gave
we could.
Gave me time off to go do it, and it was basically a big house and stuff.
But
it was beneficial, because some of the things that happen down here are extremely dangerous.
Yeah.
And I think it's just behoove you, SDRMA, I'm sure would love you for it, to have an EMT on site.
I'll tell you what, it can affect your insurance rates as well.
That's what I was saying. SDRMA would love you for it.
Mm-hmm. And if we had two, that would be even better. Yeah. So I'm all good for you hiring a second.
Yeah.
That's just my point.
I would add to that, I agree with Trevor's comments completely. Having a second is a valuable activity. Plus, the idea of Ray mentioned to maintain those certs and quals that they come in with, it's a lot easier to maintain that. And the world of EMT is becoming very difficult. I don't know these two individuals, but I can tell you the burnout rate in EMS is huge. I mean, because of what they're seeing day to day, I don't begrudge these guys at all for getting out of that.
Yeah.
I mean, that just makes sense to
pretty.
Me. Yeah. I mean, the likelihood of somebody staying in EMS for a full career is, last I heard, was less than 40% of the time. I mean, it's very rare. Because you just run up and you get burnout, especially, you know, the calls that are going. So it makes sense to me, these guys are coming here. I mean, that's wise decision.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and like I said, one of the things that attracted me and Micah to both, well, they both interviewed fantastically, was just, this can be a very high stress job down here.
Sure.
But I can't imagine it would even come close to the stress that these guys have already been under in their current employment now. So,
well, this is managed stress out there. It's
exactly.
Stress.
So we really like that aspect of it. Like, right. These guys, you can probably count on them in a pinch for all day long. So
is it consensus of the board to have the manager move forward with the second OIT hire?
Yes.
That's called option one.
That's option one. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So go forth and wreak havoc.
Bring that.
Keep option one, leave option two.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else, manager?
I believe that was it. The only thing I ask is that you guys review the budget, and so that if you have any questions for me for the April meeting on the budget, then I can answer them for you then, and then hopefully we can get it adopted in April and keep pushing forward with all the mountainous amount of stuff that we have to get done here at SCORE.
Okay.
Yeah. We talked to them, forgive me, but what were we going to talk about, the MSR? Set up my fishing schedule.
Yeah, that did come in. And I didn't have that on the manager report because it came in later. So LAFCO is going to start another MSR project, and I was going to ask the board that I may keep Ray around for the occasional LAFCO meeting or anything involving the new MSR, since he's been through the MSR. Steve from LAFCO, for whatever reason, loves him. I don't know why. But
probably bought him a sandwich.
Yeah, it could have been. But I just felt that that would be beneficial to me and to SCORE, to keep Ray around. I can't imagine it'll be a whole ton financially for us to do it. But I think it would be very beneficial. So
we have no sunshine date on your contract.
No, 960 hours.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just a year. Regular retired annuitant.
Exactly. We're not even close. Not even. Oh no. Close to anything.
Well, I would add to that that the MSRs are getting more legally defining, so it's probably better that we have the extra.
You know, it's in a, if I can just add to it real quick, it's like Scott said earlier about the shelf life of study stuff. The MSR is the study that has a shelf life that's been going away. And LAFCO contacted me a couple years ago and asked if I would help in it. We were the lead agency the last time in 10. And I think some of you might remember the terrible headlines that took place So I, you know, my only goal would be to assist him and bring history back and, you know, help him with some judgment calls. Up. I think it's going to be fairly easy. I think it's going to be fairly quick. It's not going to be a big dollar amount. And if they work around my fishing schedule, I'm golden.
Not to exceed $48,000.
Well, the bottom line with LAFCO is the rules are changing almost yearly.
Yeah.
That's why you can't count on what happened last year is what's going to be this year.
So since we brought it up, my dad was a founding member on LAFCO and was the first president.
Yes, he was. He's LAFCO.
And he's, today would be he and my mother's 70th wedding anniversary.
Uh-huh.
We lost my mom 8 years ago, but he's still married. Still,
of course.
You know.
I didn't realize you were that old.
I'm a lot, you know, I saw a thing that said, you know, my mind thinks I'm 25, but my body thinks my mind's an idiot.
Okay, 17 visitor comments. We have none. 18 commissioner staff comments. Ray, you have anything else?
No, real quick, I think my time here is kind of winding down. Outside of the MSR, be kind of a call when needed, I think, if he needs a little help. But we were doing kind of the Monday through Wednesday thing, and I think that's with the presentation of the draft budget, I think that's pretty good. We accomplished a lot in the, between the COVID, the half on, half off, and stuff, doing all the new job descriptions and combining position stuff. We did a lot. It was really easy working with Glenn and his kids.
Mike.
Glenn, Jim.
Yeah. Me.
Mike, did you have anything?
No, I don't have anything additional.
Okay.
What? You guys want me to sign these checks?
Are they blank?
Are they blank? Oh my God, they are.
I wanted to make sure you guys
were really trying to save money.
I wanted to make sure I was going to survive this meeting before I signed them.
$48,000 to sign them.
Yeah. Well, it's going to take me an hour.
Yeah.
Do you have anything? Gwen?
I do not.
I was just going to sign it.
Okay.
It was just scribbles.
They can just pass it to the guy next to you.
Commissioner Reynolds, do you have anything?
That's easy.
No, I think I covered that. I mentioned my dad and his anniversary. My son was up for a visit from the from San Diego for the Navy for a week, and real blessing. We set up watching he and my 16-year-old daughter and myself watching home movies that we made all, you know, when they were little, and man, I'm just convicted. The tone of the way I talk to my daughters and the way I talk to my son, it was.
You're cutting onions?
I had to tell him, I'm sorry, son. And he said, Dad, if you would have talked to me like you talked to them girls, I probably would have had a different lifestyle. But he just said, no complaints, absolutely. And I said, to hear it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So and we're all parents and grandparents and all of these things, but I was convicted of that, and it just, I don't know. You're gonna watch it when I get grandkids.
Yeah.
Well, they're fun.
Yeah.
Dave?
I sit on the Housing Authority Board as a commissioner, which is a housing, if you don't know about it, it's and the other day, and then we had a special meeting today at noon. Right now, with the projects that aren't just ideas, they are hard copy work being made, in the next 3 to 5 years, we will have $500 million of new residences in this county. $500 million, if that's what the projects we're talking about. So there's a wave coming. Right now there's 1,500 units in play. And I say in play that are going through the process that'll seriously happen here. And affordable housing, you know, there's 18 different programs the Housing Authority works on. But we had to have a special meeting for three of them. One of them's in Orland, believe it or not, and the rest of the thing. So just to make everyone aware, there's a lot of stuff coming. Yeah. Oroville has about 300 to 400 in play. And part of the reason I know they're getting very serious is when you partner up with the Housing Authority, there's a huge amount of steps to take. And one of the steps is to certify or get the certifications of all the people in the Housing Authority. You know, the manager, the finance person, the Section 8 people, the whole thing. The whole staff is being thoroughly vetted to be ready for all this that's coming. So I just want to share that with you because it's a little awe-inspiring when you think about it. But the numbers right now are about $500 million of investment coming to this community.
Wow. Are you guys considering, do you consider doing the adoption like from the State Fire Marshal's Office, that new law that just came out of the town of Paradise, or the counties talk about adopting, you know, the improvements?
We don't adopt, we just build housing. The problem is the state and the federal government has no idea what the hell they're doing for us. They're not helping us out a bit. A project in Gridley, 41 units, is costing us $342,000 a door for 600 square foot studio units. A door, $346,000.
Well, just the new requirements that the county's looking at is, in a, taking up time, but if you want to build a, you're a developer, you want to build a house, and this may shut down Paradise, they said.
Oh, I don't doubt that.
You have to, if you're at the end of the road, you're responsible to make sure that road meets their standards.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. To the nearest fire station, not to the nearest intersection.
We have a 12 unit that was burned down up on Casey Court that we're seriously maybe backing out of because of all that stuff.
Yeah. It's my brother's contractor. He says it's killing the industry. It will kill it.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. So it's just a word to the wise, you know. You have to scratch your head and think, you know, we have a huge problem here. We're not solving it over here. We're making it worse. So, just a heads up.
Just one quick comment for me. I just love hearing either myself or another commissioner ask a question to the attorney and get an answer.
Yes.
I know we've said it once before, but thank you, Scott. And it's like, okay, I get it. Wow, that wasn't. And when you were speaking, I think it was Commissioner Piven asked you a question, and you were answering. I was sitting there going, boy, I was like, oh, I'm gonna have to look into that. This is very nice and refreshing. So, thank you, Scott.
We don't know if the answer is accurate.
No,
we just know it's an answer.
It sounded good. It sounded good.
He sounds like he knows what he's talking about.
Susan? Buffalo?
Thank you.
Just happy to be here.
All right. Larry?
I'm good.
Dean?
I'm good too.
Okay. 6:28, meeting adjourned.
Thank you all. Good night. Be safe. All right.
Thank you very much, Scott. You all have a good night.
Thanks, Scott.
Take care.
Drive safe.
Take care.
Whatever you did with this, it worked really well. I mean, the picture was good. The sound quality was good.
Weird. I like that camera.
It is a nice camera. Yeah, I had to set it up, too, so I could, that we could record the speaker coming out.